This morning we're going to look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Wesley, will you put that up on the screen? Hebrews, there are five warnings in the book of Hebrews. The first one, we're going to talk about the first one. We're not going to have time to talk about all five of these. But the first one is beware of neglecting God's salvation. That's the one we're going to talk about today. The next one is beware of not entering into his rest, found in chapter 3, verses 7 through 4:13. The third one is beware of not going on to maturity. And I think, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, I think the book of Hebrews, if I could sum it down to one sentence or one verse, it would be chapter 6, verse 1. And I'm going to read that here in a minute. But beware of not going on to maturity. The fourth one is beware of insulting the Spirit of grace. Or, Wooton paraphrase, beware of willfully sinning. Just sinning and not really caring. You know, sinning on Saturday night and coming to church on Sunday and saying everything's great. Beware. And then the last one, beware of indifference. God is holy. God is holy. And you and I, as believers, need to treat God as holy. Like I said, we're not going to have time to look at all five of these today, but we are going to focus in on the first one, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And you know, the thing about this is, these are written not to beat you over the head with. You know, a lot of times the preacher will get up here and boy, he's got a big stick and he just beats you over the head and makes you feel really good. And at the end of the day, you go home and and lick your wounds. These warnings are written for your encouragement. That's the thing. They're written for your encouragement. You see, what's happening in to this group of believers, they're suffering through persecution. The government is coming against them. The religious section, if I can say it like that, is coming against them. And it's tough. Time of Nero, it's tough. And these are written to encourage you to take one more step. And if you don't remember anything I say today, I want you to remember that. Take one more step. No matter what you're going through, no matter how tough it is, no matter how hard it is, God's there. God is there. Take one more step, and He'll see you through it. And I know some of you are going through harder, tougher things than I could imagine. But I know this, just through my life, my experience with Christ, every time I've struggled, if I just take one more step, God will take care of me. But I am kind of getting ahead of myself. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We're going to read, we're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. So this is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proves unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience receives just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. For God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will." Let's pray. Lord, this morning we ask that, God, that You would meet us in our need. And Lord, though it seems like it is a warning, it's actually an encouragement for us to take one more step. And I just pray for myself, for my brothers and sisters, that we would do just that. Lord, I also ask that You'd just help me to step aside, and I ask that You'd speak this morning. God, thank You for Your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to give you a little bit of history here, a little bit of background information. And like I said earlier, if we could boil Hebrews down to one verse, one sentence, I think it would be found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It says, this is Hebrews 6, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, Let us press on to maturity. You see, these believers, they were struggling. And what was happening is they were afraid through unbelief, through fear, to taking one more step with Christ. And what was happening is they were actually considering turning around and going back to Judaism, going back to serving God through the law. And the author here is trying to get them to turn back around, and we'll read, to fix your eyes on Jesus, to consider Jesus, to press on and take one more step. And so, you know, sometimes that's all you can do. It's just take one step. And that's all that God asks us to do. You don't have to be, when we're faithless, He's faithful. And you know, I know that some of us, we're dealing with things that are seem overwhelming, that are more than we can actually handle. And all God asks is take one more step. You know, every parent, one of my son's gone. Every parent desires your kids to grow up and become productive citizens, both in the civil community and in the spiritual community. You know, I have desires for my kids. I want them to be mature. I want them to press on. I want them to own their own faith, if I can say it that way. And that's kind of my and Sheila's prayer for our kids. You know, it's not, they'll get married and all these, they'll get a job and all these things. All that will happen. And all that, to me, is secondary to the idea of knowing Christ. And this is the author's desire here, is that these believers would press on. It addresses the doubts, like I said, of those second guessing. You know, sometimes we do. Life is tough, and sometimes it's hard. And sometimes we wonder, you know, it would have been better if I'd have done this, or I should have, or I could have, or I would have. And again, take one more step. You're going to hear me repeat that over and over and over and over and over again, because I think it's so important in my own life, in my own walk with God, is sometimes that's all it's about. It's just, that's all you can do, is just take one more step to God, towards God. And like I said, these believers were dealing with life and death issues, persecution. And when we read Philippians, I think this is what Paul is telling them to do, to press on. I want to read this passage to you. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi, and it's chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. And I want to read this to us. Chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted loss for the sake of Christ." See, Paul knew all the stuff that we chase after was secondary. He knew it. And he counted it all as lost for one thing. And that's Christ. "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted loss for the sake of knowing Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered and lost all things, and counted them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own," not having a righteousness based on my own abilities, not having a righteousness based on serving the law as the Hebrew believers here were struggling with, "but that which is through Christ," having a righteousness that is based through Christ, "the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained or have already become perfect." And here it is. "But I press on." But I take one more step. "So that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." I press on. I count all things lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. And this is what the Hebrew believers were missing. Well, before we begin in chapter 2, let's back up to chapter 1, because I think chapter 1 kind of tells you why this first warning. I think it gives you the reason for this first warning. So let me kind of summarize chapter 1 for you. Chapter 1, there's no command to the church. Don't have to do anything. We're not told, there's no command here. The whole chapter is a declaration of God's final word to the world, Jesus Christ. Let me read, this is Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 1. It says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, and in many portions and in many ways, in the last days he has spoken to us in his Son. He has spoken to us in his Son. And this is the point of chapter 1. Something awesome has happened in the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's kind of like this is Hebrews' way of writing John chapter 1. You remember John chapter 1, verses 1 through, John chapter 1, verses 1, and then chapter 14, verse 14. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And let me read Hebrews again. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, to the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. God's Son took on flesh as God's final, decisive word to the world. And let me say that again. His final decisive word to the world, to you and I, to the church. And it's not that God doesn't still speak, but every time he speaks, it's always going to be rooted in the scripture. It's always going to be rooted in God's word. Everything that has been spoken or will be spoken can be found right here. And that's, amen's right, amen. And that's what he's telling us. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says, in him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Beyond what the Old Testament tells us, whatever we need to know about God, how he relates to our lives, we learn here. We learn from what we hear, what we see, we learn from God's word. And I know there's a lot of talk in the media. There's other gospels, there's other this, but everything you need, you and I, for godliness, to follow after Christ can be found in your hands if you have the Bible in your hands. God's final decisive word to you and me. Let me kind of highlight chapter 1. The Son of God is heir of all things. He made the world. He is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of God's nature. He upholds all things by the power of his word. He made purification for sin. He sat down at the right hand of God, the majesty, and he is greater than the angels. He is greater than the prophets. He is greater than Moses, and he is greater than the high priest. And you can put in, he is greater than, and you can fill in the blank. He is greater than. And that's the whole idea of chapter 1. It is for us to see God's glory through his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, then we turn to chapter 2. Chapter 2, text for the day. It's our first command. And that first command is to listen. Something we all have to do, to listen. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 again. It says, for this reason we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word was spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders in various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will. Because God has spoken by His Son in the last days, and because He is the Creator, the Sustainer, the Owner, the Ruler, the Redeemer of the world, for this reason, that's what it says, the very first word in chapter 2, for this reason. So in other words, because of chapter 1, because of His greatness, because of who He is, because He is the final word to the world, listen to Him. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we've heard. So the first command of the book is that we give heed to the word. In other words, God has spoken, listen, and listen carefully. You know, I think this is a command that every believer needs to hear. Let me ask you a couple questions. What do you listen to? And you can sit here and answer this to yourself. What do you listen to on a daily basis? Radio, the TV, you know, there are things that vie for our attention, that crowd in and crowd out. What do you listen to? Next question is, who do you listen to? Who is it that you give attention to? We just read that God has spoken through His Son, so do you listen to Him? Do you listen to Him? How does your listening to Him, how does your listening to Christ, to His Word, compare to your listening to other things? Like, for me, I'll confess my sin. How does my listening to Christ compare to my listening to the TV? I got this big, I mean, when football season comes, it's going to be nice. I mean, it's down in the, we got a dungeon. Hey, boy, it's going to be really good. How does my listening to Christ compare to my listening to TV? That's my sin. You have to fill in your own. Or I don't want to call it a sin. Sometimes it does crowd out other things, and it takes precedence over other things, like my family and all those other things. Yeah. Like I said, I'm confessing. But you have to fill in that blank. Are you listening to Him? Are you listening to what the world says? You know, we all listen to someone or something. You know, just that's it. We make provisions. We put ourselves in a position to hear. You know, a couple weeks ago, we were at the S.D. Morrison Park, the 4th Fest. I put myself in a position so I could hear a band. It was fun. It was good. It was hot. But I put myself there. I put myself in front of the TV. I turn on the car radio. We all put ourselves in a position to hear. You know, I have to confess again. These last 2 months, we're studying Hebrews in Wednesday night. And these last 2 months, these four verses have haunted me. I mean, it talks about neglecting my salvation. It talks about drifting, you know, just lackadaisically not caring, floating down the river. Just, it's giving me fits because I don't like where I'm at. And again, it's not a warning for God to beat me over the head. It's a warning to get me to take one more step. And you know, that's what I want you to hear today. If you don't hear anything else I say today, I don't care what's going on in your life, I want you to take one more step. That's it. Well, we go on. It is exceedingly necessary. What Hebrews is saying here is that in the believer's life, we must go on listening to the word of God. We must pay close attention. We can't treat it casually. We can't act as if we already know it. We don't have anything to gain from it. In fact, there's an urgency. I think there's an urgency in chapter 1, verse 2. It literally says, it is exceedingly necessary that you give heed to what you have heard. Past tense. Give heed to what you have heard. And I think the thing that you have heard, I think what he's saying is, he's talking about the gospel message. He's talking about the message of the cross. So in other words, it's exceedingly necessary that we give heed to the message of the cross. The message of Jesus Christ. So that we don't neglect. So that we don't drift. So that we don't fall by the wayside. He's telling you, take one more step. Take one more step. I'll be there. And you have to remember, this group of believers, they're having trouble taking that step forward. Remember, they're going through persecution. Just life is difficult. And that's what the author's trying to get them to do. Go forward. And you know, when you read the book of Hebrews, I just encourage you, go home this week and read it. This isn't an isolated command in the book. We read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. It says, therefore, holy brothers, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. You're considering all this other stuff over here. You're considering chasing after life, if we can say it like that. Your job, careers, family. Not that family's bad, but this is what we're considering. And the writer here, see, remember, they're considering turning back to who they were. And he's just reminding them, trying to get them to turn back around, consider Jesus. Listen to him. Consider. Focus your... And see, the thing about it is, this is what... We all know this. We all know this. We chase after our career. We chase after... If you're not married, I chased after my bride. She's not here. I did, literally. I chased after her. I'm chasing after good things. I am. I'm chasing after trying to provide for my family. I'm trying to make sure my kids are getting the right education. I'm chasing after all this stuff. And if the word tells me, seek first the kingdom of God, if I would just consider Christ, and if he would be my focus, if I would turn my heart to him wholeheartedly, all those things that I'm seeking after, my job, my career, you know, good retirement, or, you know, all that stuff, God will take care of. You know? And this is, again, I tell you, this is what he's trying to get these guys to do. Go forward. Go forward. Well, Hebrews 12 says the same thing. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, the author tells us, let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. So consider Jesus, fix your eyes on him. In other words, put blinders on, if I can say it like that. Focus on who he is and what he's done. Take one more step. Let your life be focused on Christ and the message of the cross. And again, I'll say this again. Our Hebrews brothers and sisters were experiencing persecution. They were struggling with unbelief. They were struggling with the daily issues of life. Take one more step. Well, next it says, pay attention so you don't neglect your great salvation. Chapter 1 was intended to make this command easy. You know, we are to listen to as a son of God. He's the creator, he's the sustainer, the owner, the ruler, the redeemer of the world. And what he has to say to us is about a very great salvation. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So if we choose not to listen to Jesus day to day, if we choose not to consider him, if we choose not to fix our eyes on Christ, we're neglecting this great salvation. Why? We'll regard something else as more important. And that's what we'll chase after. And you have to ask yourself, what are you chasing after? What takes the majority of your time? Where is your heart focused? Where is your mind? What consumes your mind, if I can say it that way? Chances are, that's what you're chasing after. And this word neglect, I'm going to confess again because, you know, it's scary. I'm neglecting the salvation that God has given me. And that's why it's been haunting me these last couple of months. And I don't want to neglect it. I do want to consider Jesus, and I do want to fix my eyes on him. I do want to serve him. I do want to be where he has me. But I'm chasing after stuff. Let me summarize so far what we've talked about. God has spoken in the last days by his Son. For this reason, we must listen. We must want to listen all the more closely to what he says. Now, I want to back up a little bit to back to verse 1. It says, verse 1, the next phrase, it says, lest we drift away. And let me read the whole verse here. It says, for this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we heard, the message of the gospel, lest we drift away from it. The reason for paying close attention to Jesus Christ, the reason we pay closer attention, says Jesus is greater than the angels. This is the whole idea of this argument that the writer's trying to write to tell these Hebrew believers. He's greater than the angels. The angels spoke the message of God to the Jewish believers, to the Old Testament Jewish believers. The prophet spoke the message of God. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the high priest, the person that went into the temple and made atonement for their sins. And the author here is saying, he's greater than. He's greater than. And I would tell you, you fill in the blank. Whatever it is you're chasing after, you fill in the blank. He's greater. And this word drifting actually means to float by. And if you've ever been on the Guadalupe River down around San Antonio, a state park down there, you can get into an inner tube and float down the river. It's a lot of fun. I don't know if you've ever tubed down the river. The one in town's a little bit fast. It's a little bit big. There's a little few turbulence here. But this one, it's just this lazy river that winds through this state park. In fact, you know, you can get 10 or so inner tubes and you can tie them together. And you can have this big old party as you float down the river. In fact, people do that. And they just float by. Hebrews says that if we don't pay closer attention to God's word, that's what we'll do. We'll just float by. You know? We'll drift on by. There's no vigilance. There's no focus. There's no standing still. And the one thing about it, in your walk with Christ, either you're moving forward, either you're taking a step forward or you're taking a step back. There's no standing still. If you're drifting, you're usually drifting backwards. That's just my thought here. One of the commentaries that I read, he equated drifting to carelessly applying the Word of God to your life or to their life. So in other words, when we read this, it says, for this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we carelessly apply the Word of God to our life and we drift away from the message of the cross. Lest we drift away. Again, I say this, the author is trying to encourage these believers to take a step, to stop drifting. You know, and the thing about it is, this is another one of those words, that neglect and drifting, it's just kind of challenged me these last couple of months. You know, if you're drifting and it bothers you, if that's who you are right now, and it actually literally bothers you, it's a good sign. It bothered me. It bothered me. And you know what? I'm taking steps to change. I'm taking steps so I don't drift, so I don't neglect, so that I'm actively each day taking a step forward. And I want to encourage you, if it bothers you, take a step. God's there. God will see you through it. Take a step forward. Well, time is running out, and I want to close with a couple of applications, some situations that you probably don't like, but you find yourself in, and then how we could change that. First, how's your spiritual hearing, I should ask? Are you distracted? The distraction factor. You know, I've coached baseball for I don't know how many years, and this past summer was no different. And I remember talking to a mom. Her son played on a different team. We played that team that night. We actually beat them like 15-3. At the end of the first inning, I call it calling off the dogs. You know, because I do not want to beat somebody and humiliate them. I want to beat you. And if we're going to play a game, I don't care if it's checkers or baseball or cards, I'm coming after you. And I just got to a point where, you know, after, you know, we're beating you so bad, it's like no fun anymore. And I just call off the dogs. So anyway, I called off the dogs. And I don't know why I said that too. After our game, we actually knew the pitcher of the other team. He was on Joshua's baseball team when the first year we were here 7 years ago, and good kid, really liked the kid. And we were talking to him, and his mom was telling me about this boy's schedule. Football strength training in the morning. I think it was like 6 to 10. He was at the school, lifting weights, soccer practice, piano lessons. And this is all in one day. This isn't over the week. This is in one day. And then the baseball game that night. And, you know, when we were looking at this kid, he just looked tired. You know, he just looked plumb worn out. And the thing about it is, this was in the evening. He had to do the same thing next day. So strength training in the morning, soccer practice, piano lessons. And you know what? Our lives are so good. You know, we have two kids. Well, I guess y'all knew that. They keep us busy. Going here, doing that, taking them to work, picking them up, going here, going there. I don't know how you guys do it when you got 5 or 6 kids. You know, brother, you're in trouble. You know, once your kids get up and they get big, you're going to be chasing them around town. You're going to have to get little Floyd driving real quick. You know, that's been our problem. But we're so distracted. We're so consumed with all the stuff that we've got to do. And you know what? I've said this before. You know, and the thing about it is Jesus was really busy. I mean, you look at his life, 3-year ministry. He was always engaged, always doing something. But he always found time to be alone with the Lord, with God. Always found time. That was priority in his life. And I would just encourage you to do the same. You know, if you've got to eliminate some things in your life, do it. Don't let stuff rule who you are. Don't be distracted. And as I've said before, pick one thing, one ministry. Don't drift. Pick one, and that's what you do. That's what you engage in. That's what you're about. One thing, do it well. Well, another factor in keeping us from hearing from God is what I call the dissatisfaction factor, if I can say it like that. Hebrews 4:7 is a good word for us on this. It says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Unbelief hinders you and I from hearing from God. Do not harden your heart. In other words, repent. If you're dissatisfied, if you're not satisfied in who God is, repent. Take a step forward. He'll meet you in your need. He's waiting there. Well, the third factor in not hearing from God is the I'm doing just fine factor. Everything's hunky-dory. You know, everything's just fine. Really don't care. Everything's just good. We're sailing along, nice and easy. If I change, everything, the whole ship gets top heavy and all turns upside down. But, you know, besides, who wants to be a missionary somewhere in Iowa City, you know? Distractions, dissatisfactions, and apathy, if we can say it that way. I'm doing just fine. These all hinder you and I from hearing from the Lord. So the question is, how do we change? How do we build guards around our lives so that this doesn't happen, so that you and I can hear, so that you and I can eliminate those distractions? And I think we take a lesson from the Sunday school curriculum we just talked about, Henry Blackaby. First of all, I think you need to expect God to speak to you. I think every morning you and I need to get up and we need to expect God to talk, whether through his word, through a brother in the Lord, through the church, you need to expect it. You need to, whatever it is. And it goes back to the distractions. If you're so distracted that you can't get alone with God, you aren't going to be able to hear from him. Expect God to speak. Second one's real easy. Eliminate the distractions. You know, my sister-in-law, her son played traveling baseball, traveling basketball, traveling, I don't know what else, and going to school. She finally, they were out of town every weekend, and then she's got a daughter that's doing the same. She's in basketball, and they travel here. They go in here, and their whole weekends are spent playing baseball, basketball. Their whole weekends are spent for their kids, basically. And she finally, they finally got tired of it, and they looked at him, and he was really good. He's a really good baseball player. He's a really good basketball player. But they finally just looked at him and said, you know what? Pick one. Pick one. And they eliminated the distractions. And sometimes that's what you have to do. There's so many things calling your name. If your life is like mine, everybody wants you somewhere and everybody wants something from you and everybody needs. I get phone calls. I need you. And I'm thinking, well, I don't need you. You would be surprised. I need you. And it's real emphasis. And it's like, phew, well, too bad, brother. That was mean. But after a while, you know, it's like when you get four or five of these, it, you know, it's like, And the thing about it is, myself, Pastor Chris, there's no way that we could provide, take care of every need you have. There's just no way. It's impossible. It just ain't going to happen. I had a friend when we were overseas, and I'm kind of sliding away. We were overseas. She was telling me, oh, I love the Moldovans. And I'm thinking, I don't. I was thinking there was something wrong with me. And she would just emphasize, and all this ooshy-gooshy stuff. And she was a woman, so maybe that was it. But I don't think that was it. And I came to a realization that I didn't love the Moldovans. I didn't have the capacity to love them. I mean, it just wasn't who I was. But I had the capacity. God loved the Moldovans. And my desire was to love God. And so if I allowed God, if I was focusing on Christ, I would allow God to love the Moldovans through me. And it really changed my heart. Eliminate the distractions. And then lastly, very simple, respond. You got to respond. And there's two responses. Yes, Lord. Ain't going to happen, Lord. And it's very simple. And I would encourage you, you know, when God speaks, when you're anticipating, and it probably is not going to happen the way you want it to happen. It's not going to happen like you want it to happen. It's not going to look anything like you want it to happen, but it's going to be exactly what you need. It's going to be exactly what you need. Respond. So I want to say it one last time. If you're struggling, for whatever reason, unbelief, whatever it may be, I just want to encourage you, take one step. Take one step forward. Get involved. And this is the neat thing. When you do take that one step, God will be there. And God will minister to you. And I've said this before. When you reach out to your brothers and sisters, when you allow, like me allowing God to love the Moldovans through me, when I did that, God reached in and he touched the hurts of my heart. So when you reach out, I promise you, God will reach in. Take one more step. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the message of encouragement this morning we find in Hebrews. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning that we would do just that. We would put ourselves in a position to hear. God, we would eliminate the distractions. We'd repent of our unbelief. God, we would respond when you speak. God, thank you for your mercy. Lord, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name.